First Peter chapter 5, and Vic has already, he's already got it there. First Peter 5, 8 and 9, and we want to look at some things there from this text of Scripture. And while I'm talking about it, I need to also get there as I'm flipping through the pages of my Bible. There it is, 1 Peter, right before 2 Peter, chapter 5, which he says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We saw a picture of that a little while ago, right, of that lion chasing that whatever it was. And he says, looking for someone to devour, resist him, standing firm in the faith. Because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Let's pray. Father, I ask right now as we look into this word, as we fiddle with this word this morning, that you would speak, that we would hear your voice in this word. You know where we live. You know what we're going through. You know the circumstances of our lives, and I pray that into that condition that you would speak to us, that we might be fed as your sheep and find nourishment to continue to live the life that you've called us to live. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Some time ago, Sandra was in the other room, and as is my custom, to bother her. You know, it's like, you know, the longer we're married, I get this impression that all she thinks of me is just a nuisance, you know? And so I try to live up to that at times. And so she was in the other room, and I thought, you know, I'm going to sneak up on her and really scare her good, you know? And so, as is my MO in those kinds of things, I try the art of distraction. And I turn the music up real loud, you know, so she can't hear me sneaking down the hallway, you know, to pop in on her and scare her. So I do that, turn the music up and wait a little while and do this or that, and then I start sneaking down the hallway. About halfway down, she yells out of the room, "I know you're coming." And I'm like, what's up with that? You know? It's like, wow, spoil a good thing. And it's like, how'd you know? She says, "I know you." You know, "I know you." Things got quiet, she says, and then all of a sudden the music gets turned up real loud. "I know you're up to something. And I know you're up to something." And I want to talk about that kind of thing, the something that the devil is up to, and how it is that we need to be aware of what he's up to. The devil, more than just popping in on us and saying boo and scaring us, as this text reveals, is after a lot more than that. A lot more. Now, let me ask you, when's the last time you thought about the devil? I don't think he's comes up as a topic in too many of our conversations, and certainly I don't think that we think about him much. I have to admit that I think about the devil often. And precisely because of this text of Scripture right here and others besides, the spiritual warfare that we're in demands of me to think about my enemy. Now, we all have a tendency to go to one extreme or another when it comes to, especially when it comes to the devil. Either we blame the devil for everything, you know, the devil made me do it, the devil did this, the devil does that, or we go to the other extreme and we forget that we even have an enemy whatsoever. You know? In either way, the devil wins with that kind of stuff, but we have that kind of tendency. And what I want to say to us is that the devil is a master at covert attacks. When we are first introduced to the devil, we are introduced to him as that kind of sneaky person. It says there was none more subtle. And he shows up as a serpent, sly, slithery. And his operations, his attacks, you know, he doesn't knock on our door and say, you know, I've been noticing this and that, and in about 10 minutes, you got 10 minutes, I'm going to attack you with this particular temptation. And so get ready. No, they're usually covert attacks. He's sneaking up on us. And he is a master at the tactics he uses. In that we have before us depicted a lion on the prowl. That lion on the prowl is using tactics to get to whatever type of animal it's getting to. It's different ways that they approach, and the enemy is good. Our enemy is good at the tactics, having devised tactics to get at you and me. The Bible speaks about this. And he is a master at executing those tactics, or strategic plans, you might say, to attack me. He's a master at it. Now, this is a very serious message, I guess, whenever we talk about the devil, and something that I didn't see any hands go up or comments made letting me know the last time you thought about the devil. I would dare to say probably you haven't thought about him much. But I see from this text and others that the Lord laid on my heart to talk to us about your enemy, the devil, this morning. And the devil, who is known in the Greek language as Apollyon, some of you might have heard of that title. There are many titles that the devil is given in the Bible, and every title is a designation or a description of not only the character that he is, but of the kinds of ways in which he attacks us and his intent in attacking us. And his name is Apollyon, which in Greek is translated, anybody know? Destroyer. Destroyer. And so he's after one thing, and as it's depicted here, when you look at this, that Peter would use this kind of imagery, he's depicted as a bloodthirsty lion on the prowl with one intention. And that intention is to devour me. And we have to realize that we have to conclude and be so much aware that not only is there a Holy Spirit, not only is there an Holy Spirit, but there is an evil spirit. An evil spirit. And that evil spirit has a name and a personality and a kingdom known as the kingdom of darkness, which is dead set in opposition to us, to you, to me. You might have heard me tell the little fireside story, you know, where there are two deer standing together during hunting season and talking as deer usually do. And the one deer has, you know, this big bullseye on it. And the other deer says, boy, that's a heck of a birthmark you got there, you know. Just, the wrong place, wrong time to be having that kind of thing going on. And the reality is that when it comes to our enemy and the opposition, the warfare that we're in, guess what, Christian? You got a big old target on you that he is gunning for, that he's aiming for. In fact, once again, he is shown to us, he is explained to us as a lion on the prowl, going for us and to devour us. And devour is not a pretty thing. I mean, have you seen bloodthirsty lions when they catch their prey? And that's the imagery here that Peter wants to get to us. This is what he's after. No one yet has ever made friends with the devil. Not if so, it's only to that person's detriment. And I like to liken that kind of thing to someone befriending an alligator. Have you ever seen someone walking down the street with a pet alligator on their leash? You know, it's like, no. Talk about biting the hand that feeds you just lost it. And so we have an enemy. And what do these attacks look like? That's what I want to focus on, your enemy, the devil, and how it is that he attacks us, to get a clue of how it is that we can obey what's being said here, to be self-controlled, to be watchful, and also to make a firm stand against the devil when he does, in fact, attack us. So what does it look like? A big part of obeying the admonition, and they are, when he says to us, be self-controlled and to be alert, they're in the imperative mood. They're spoken to us as commands. He is saying to us, you must be self-controlled. You must be watchful. And then he tells us why. And if I'm going to obey those opening two admonitions to what we're talking about this morning, I need to identify the kinds of attacks that come my way from my enemy, the devil. How is it that he attacks me? What do I need to be looking for in his attacks so that I don't end up as a prey that's being chomped by the lion that he is? And the other thing that we can say about the devil is that the devil always plays for keeps. Always. You know, he's not someone you can make a deal with. And, you know, we have a lot of jokes and a lot of stories about the devil and dealing with the devil and all of these things. And, you know, I've witnessed to people about, you know, being saved from hell. Oh, hell's going to be one great party. So-and-so is going to be there, and so-and-so is going to be there. Isn't all going to be wonderful? No. You know, no. And I understand these things, how it, you know, we can become, you know, joke about these things, but it's no laughing matter, hell and the devil. And for us as Christians to see that we have been called to make a firm stand against our enemy, the devil, in the faith. And so how is it that the devil attacks us? How is it that he attacks us? What do I need to be aware of? He's on the prowl. He's coming at me. How is it that he's coming at me? He comes at me to divide and conquer. To divide and conquer. You know, there's so many other portions of Scripture, as I mentioned, these attacks that we can draw from. I want to work through the material quickly. I know, Allison, those are my famous last words, quickly. But we'll get through it together. And my intention is always to be helpful to us. I take very seriously my call to feed the sheep. And I trust that this will be nurturing, to be strengthening for us in this thing. Now, let me just say as an aside, you know, as scary as this can talk, you know, it can seem, you know, the devil. When I was a kid, there was a dog that lived in the neighborhood. He was about this big. Big black dog. You know, to a kid, that's what he seemed like to me anyways. And I avoided that dog because he was this big. And then one day, and this is no joke, someone told me, you know, Bobby, that dog doesn't have any teeth. He had a problem, and all of his teeth were yanked out. And true story about the dog. Well, guess what? My fear suddenly left me about that. I didn't care. Where in those days, there wasn't a leash law. If there was in my little town of Herkimer, it wasn't mandated or whatever, and the dog just roamed free, you know. But anytime I ran across that dog or had to walk by the house where this dog lived, I didn't care anymore. Bark, oh, you ain't got no teeth. And so it is with the devil. There is really that kind of thing. On Calvary, Jesus pulled the teeth out of the devil's mouth. Now, having said that, still we have an enemy. And still he has tactics. So as to say, we stand upon victory's ground of Calvary over the devil. But just to help us, you know, understand what we're navigating through here when it comes to fear. I believe in victory I believe in Jesus' victory over the devil. Okay. So he divides and conquers. That is to say, the devil divides and conquers how? We see this in Genesis, the third chapter. Right? where he divided and conquered. He fractured a relationship between Eve and Adam. And he went after her and brought a divide there, and he divided them and conquered. And the devil uses that as a tactic. He fractures relationships by creating offenses. This is why we're taught so often, and we see, you know, it's like we got all these things that we come up with in spiritual warfare, you know, to defeat the enemy. And I've even heard of Christians who rent airplanes and fly over cities or whatever, you know, to pray and dispense spiritual power so that they break the principalities and powers over the air. And there might be some merit to that, but the spiritual warfare is the meat and potatoes of spiritual warfare is that when the devil comes to fracture relationship because of an offense, Jesus says to what? Forgive. And by exercising that kind of weaponry over the devil of forgiveness, we do what? We stop him from dividing and conquering. Wow. That's not my point this morning. My point this morning is to see that this is an attack. He divides and he conquers. He fractures relationships by not only creating offenses, but by creating conflicts. You see, Peter says here, he says, your enemy, the devil. Your enemy, the devil. And we don't get this sometimes, that just maybe behind the conflict is the devil. You know, and we're so quick to pin the blame on, well, he said, she said, or this kind of outward thing in so many ways, and we fail to see what might be what instigating this thing behind it all. Just might be the devil. Yeah, divides and conquers, and he's good at giving us reasons to stay away from fellowship. Divide and conquer. And we can't stress enough about community and family and church and all that fellowship takes in. The devil is a master at dividing and conquering, at keeping us away from the kind of thing that ought to be happening in his presence when we come together, when two or three are gathered together in his name. So divide and conquer. The next one is that he's a master at distraction, at bringing distractions into our lives. One of the things that, you know, in working with young people all the years that I have, and especially, is helping them to see the distraction that the devil is good at planting someone in their lives, if you know what I mean by someone, you know. And that, you know, young people always, you know, looking for, you know, a boyfriend, looking for a girlfriend, and how it happens where for one reason or another, they settle for the devil's plant in their life instead of the promise of God in their lives, of someone being brought into their lives by him. And that person becomes a distraction to them, taking them off from the path that God has for their lives. That's what distractions do. Distractions that come into our lives by the devil have one intention in mind, and that is to control our lives by that distraction. He brings distractions into our lives. He brings legitimate things, good things, but not necessarily the best things in our lives. He brings goals. He creates new goals for our lives. This is what I'm, you know, that's what I need to go after now in my life. Or opportunities. And then the workplace, or life, hobbies. And he puts them in our path, the devil does, by to distract us off from the path that God has for our lives. And by those distractions, he seeks to control our lives. Another obvious one, at least to me, is he's a master at creating doubts in our lives. doubts. And by those doubts, our faith becomes weakened, where we begin to call into question what we feel from God, what we feel from His Word. And we begin to doubt, well, things are never going to get better for me. You ever say that? You know, as things are never going to change. Listen, behind that thought just might be the enemy inflicting you with doubts. With doubts. Because the scripture says, if God be for us, nothing, who can be against us? So that there is this sense of, you know, the weakening of our faith, because He creates situations that are going to put us headlong into doubting. Doubting God. Doubting His Word. Doubts. Another one is what I call disorderly conduct. Disorderly conduct. I'll tell you what I mean by that. Disorderly conduct. And this disorderly conduct destroys our character, has the full potential of destroying our character. There's nothing more valuable that a person has than their character or their integrity. Nothing. Jesus said you can gain the whole world, and if you lose what? Your own soul, you've lost everything. And disorderly conduct, I would call those temptations that come from the devil to us to cause us to compromise our integrity. As extreme as the temptation of Joseph to compromise his integrity by hopping in bed with his boss's wife, to, well, you know, it's a white lie. You know, it's not a full out and out. It's just a little white lie. Is that what we call them, white lies? Yeah, white lies. That and everything in between can create disorderly conduct to where we fall prey to temptation, and well, that's not going to hurt. No, it hurts us. It hurts us. It does something to my soul, and it can happen to such an extent to where there is no recovery from. For instance, Judas betrayed Jesus, and there was no recovery for that man's betrayal. There was no recovery. Do such a things yet happen? Yes. Yes. Temptation is a very real thing. And thank God for His forgiveness. Thank God that though I fall, as Proverbs says, though a righteous man falls seven times, yet he gets back up. And I thank God for that. You know, falling prey to temptation is not the end of my life. But we have to see this thing, that behind that is the devil. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, it was by the devil. And the devil wasn't playing around with Him. The devil meant it. He wanted to stop Jesus dead in His tracks. He knew where Jesus was going. At least he had an inkling of an idea where Jesus was going. I got to stop this guy. And he did it by temptation. Joseph, it says, resisted the temptation day by day. And resisting the temptation day by day, what happened to him? He didn't jeopardize what God had for him at the end of his life. Samson. Oh, Samson, Delilah said. If I was a girl and my name was Delilah, I'd change it. No offense, all you Delilahs out there. But. Isn't there a song or something? Huh? Tom Jones? Tom Jones. Delilah, yeah, absolutely. But anyways, Samson succumbed to the temptation. And you see how he was lulled into it. And once again, you know, the devil never shows up, horns and pointed tail and hooves feet, and says, "Hi, it's me, the devil, and I'm about to tempt you, and isn't this going to be fun?" Never. Samson was lulled into putting his head into her lap. And having done so repeatedly, she cut him off. Yeah. And he fell. And having fallen, his strength left him. His strength wasn't in his hair that she cut off. His strength was in his relationship with Jesus that his hair represented, and she cut off. See? Now, the good news with Samson, and we take this good news for every one of us who has fallen, his hair began to grow back. Huh? His relationship restored. And it says, what about Samson? He took out more in his death than he did in his lifetime. Thank God for his redemption. At the same time, remember, there's a devil behind that temptation, and he has nothing but bad thoughts about you and me. He's playing for keeps. He's playing to hurt you. Devour is serious stuff. He deceives. He's a master at deceiving us so that we live in an untruth. And when there's no freedom. See, untruth is captivating. It binds us. And here's the deal with deception. He lies to you so that you become comfortable living in those poor, lesser, sinful qualities of your life. Call it darkness, rather than in being set free. I mean, that's what deception is. Now, we all have, I believe, we all have areas of deception in our lives where we're living, where light yet needs to shine. But the devil is a perpetrator of lies, and his intention is to deceive us so that we become comfortable living in the lie. So that those areas, you know, well, this is just the way I am, so accept me the way that I am. You've heard me say this before, but not in this connection. And we believe a lie about ourselves, that behind it is the devil. Well, this is just the way I am. My mother was like this. My father was like this. I'm like this. If you would have known, you know, my family, you'd understand that this is the way. And all these ways in which we could be lied to. You don't know what I experience. All these things that he lies to us. And we begin to accept things that make us comfortable to live in darkness. He's a liar. Jesus said, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And so, those are just a couple of the ways in which he attacks us. We can talk about many more. But to get those, to be aware of those things, and why do I mention them? Well, it's important to talk about them. Because if I'm going to resist firmly the devil's attacks, I have to be aware of those things so that I can know what I'm up against so I can counter them. So I can counter them. What are some of the ways that I can counter the devil's attacks? How is it that I resist? Now, the word resist here, that's a fighting word. Resist. That's a fighting word. You know, it's not just this kind of thing, you know, where I got to resist the temptation to eat the chocolate cake this morning because whatever, you know. It's way more severe than that. Way more stronger than that. Resist. Man, you are on a rampage. You are on a fight. If you the kind of thing that says, "Okay, I can't eat chocolate cake. I'm not going to have chocolate cake in the house." You know, every day I drive by Ajax Bakery on the way to work. I'm going to stop driving by Ajax. I mean, you're serious about not eating chocolate cake when you do that. I'm not so strong myself, when it comes to chocolate cake. But nevertheless, you get my point. So what is it? Listen, here's the first thing is this. Be on guard for attacks. Listen, Christian, you have an enemy and you're going to be attacked. Period. Again, notice what he says. Your enemy, the devil. And he says to us, be self-controlled about it. Be alert to it. Attacks are going to come your way. Attacks. Now, he says, be self-controlled. If you, for any reason, lose your temper, you become one step away from springing the devil's trap. You ever been in a situation where you know if I just hold it together, hold my cool together, this thing is not going to escalate. This thing is going to, I'm going to walk through this. And then you blow. Then you blow. And what happens? Kiss it goodbye. You know. And being on guard in these kinds of situations is realizing, as I said before, that the devil is a master at dividing and conquering. He is a master at throwing fuel on the conflict, whatever it may be. A master at it. And so one of the ways he throws fuel on it is by nudging us, by putting us in situations to really get at us. That's it. That's it. And we lose our temper. And that's why he says here, be self-controlled in this, these situations, in these heated situations. And if you keep your cool together, and listen, when we're angry, when we lose our composure, we lose self-control, oh man, right? Everything is exaggerated. Everything becomes exaggerated. What they did, how they're saying it, what I'm thinking is like a molehill has now turned into an Everest. And the devil succeeded. He succeeded. Do you realize that, Christian? To say that that the devil often wins in our lives is a reality and not a perception. And not merely, you know, well, a defeatist type of attitude. Listen, you're a Christian. You got Jesus in your life. You always win over the devil. I don't always win over the devil. I have been tempted and I have succumbed to temptation. I have bit my tongue when I shouldn't have said a bad word and I have let go and let it fly. Yep. And the devil has won. You know? He says to be alert. The idea here of being on guard for attacks, being alert, is that these attacks are something you have to be looking for. You have to be looking for. So, you know, you're in a situation. It's like, I have been bombarded, my spam mail, my email, my junk mail, bombarded by these sites that offer extramarital affairs. No kidding. You've probably seen them yourself, you know. Bombarded by them. And I have to be alerted to the fact, first of all, I could be tempted by that. I could be tempted by it. See, I'm alert. And I'm alert that it's being used to hook me in some way. Well, you know what I do with it? In the garbage. Trash. Oh, you know, let me just see what this is going on here so I can help other people. No. I'm alert. See, I'm alert to the fact that, you know, I got weaknesses in my life and the devil's going to play those weaknesses. I'm going to stay alert to that. I'm going to be aware of situations that the devil's going to try to create conflicts. The devil, all of these things he's going to try and deceive. I want to be alert to them. The next is, for heaven's sake, put up a fight. Stand up to these attacks. For heaven's sake, put up a fight. You know? It's like, and you know, it's like somebody used to say, you know, the famous saying where, you know, Jesus says in the wilderness, right, where he's tempted, where he says, "Get behind me, Satan." And someone has coined the little phrase, "Yeah, get behind me and push me right in." You know? And the whole idea of, man, realizing that in as a Christian, there are things that I have an enemy and I have to fight against him in these things. And he says, resist, put up a fight using the faith. See, using the faith. Listen, you know, I'll be at the gym and I'm working out, and all of a sudden, this immoral thought goes through my brain. I'm like, I shake my head, like I'll shake my head at times like this. What the heck? Because I usually do when bad thoughts go through my head, because it's like, I don't want to think that thought. You understand what I'm saying? You can't stop them. And sometimes, you know, there's just ways in which one thing is connected to another, the way in which we think, that oftentimes brings us to bad kinds of thinking. Can't stop that. Listen, you can't stop that. But you can sure as heck fight against it. So I refuse. I fight against that. And then I see the crown of thorns pictured on Jesus' head, who suffered in his head for me. And then I put on the helmet of salvation. You see, what am I doing? I'm putting up a fight using the faith. You understand? I'm using the, as he says here, I'm using the faith to fight against the devil. You say, does it work? Absolutely, it works. Yes, it works. Do you feel better? You know, does it go away? Not immediately, but at least I have this sense about me. I have this sense of well-being about me that I'm not letting these things make a nest in my life. No way. You're not going to make a nest there. That's a fight. That's putting up a fight. You understand? And here's the thing that I've learned. As long as I'm fighting, I'm winning. Long as I'm fighting, I'm winning. And then, we don't like the last one, but listen, it's here in the text. You know, I'm just a messenger. That's all I am. But he says, because you know. And boy, why does, you know, it's like, why you got to throw this in there now? Isn't it enough, you know, it's the way you're explaining this, Peter. It's like it's bad enough. But you got to explain it in these terms, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. It's like, oh, come on, give me a break. And what is he saying here? As you read the next verse, which I don't want to get into at this moment, but he says, suffer through it. You know, no fight with the devil is pleasant. I don't think you can ever interview a soldier. You know, how'd that feel for you? That bad. They're just returning from battle. You want to interview them, you know? How'd that battle feel for you? You know, did you have a good time out there? You know, I was scared for my life. I puked a couple of times, but I held my ground. You know? And we have to see that There is suffering in our life. This is not easy. This is not easy to accept. But there is suffering that you and I go through in the opposition that we have, in the fight that we have with the devil. Yep. That I got to fight through this thing, man. That this thing is now in my life. That this adverse circumstance, that this situation, that this health thing, because it all comes, the devil uses it to erode, to undermine your faith in mine. And the fight is, as he's encouraging them to, don't let those sufferings undermine your faith. Stand firm in the faith. That's what he's encouraging them to do. Now, I hope that there are more people in heaven than there are going to be in hell. I can only hope for that. But the reality is there will be people in hell. It's a reality. The reality is that the devil takes out people. He does. And we have the extreme case, so we think of Judas, who the devil took out. But there are other people in the Bible that we see the devil took out. I think of Demas. Demas, who was one of Paul's traveling companions, who was a minister. And Paul says of Demas, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this world too much, and he's gone." The devil got him. We suffer through it, man. You know, it's the suffering end of it isn't fun, right? And so what do you think? What do you think? Here's the message. Wasn't that fun? Wasn't that good? Oh, man, that just good preaching, Bob. Isn't that good? It is, and I'm not going to leave you there. We'll look at this again. I'm not going to leave you there. But I wanted you to see the seriousness of the tax and the way in which the seriousness that we have to bring to the fight. Is that cool? What do you think? Are you up for the fight? You know, have you thought about that before? You know, as a Christian, the whole dimension of your fight against the devil. Have you? You know, huh? Yeah, it is. That's one of the ways in which we stand against the attacks of the devil. Absolutely. I didn't mention that one because it's so obvious, but absolutely, though. No. Yeah. Huh? John 10:10. Yeah, that's what he comes to do, isn't it? The seriousness of the devil. Jesus, the devil comes to kill, destroy, and to steal. But Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And so oftentimes we emphasize life more abundantly that we forget that the devil's still in the picture and his intention is to kill, destroy, and to steal. See, that's all I'm saying. Let's stand and pray. Thank you. I hope this is helpful. I hope it is. I hope it's helpful. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing. And what I would recommend is this: anybody here read The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan? Some of you. If you haven't read it, I would highly recommend reading John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress. Tremendous story. And I say that because he depicts in there a fight as a Christian against the devil that is just wonderful. Just wonderful the way he depicts that. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and this word from Peter and the seriousness of this word and how it is that you have called us to stand firm in the faith against our enemy, the devil. And Lord, I pray that we'll have a sense about us of that kind of strengthening that comes from you. Even as your word says, to be strong in the Lord and in the conquering power of his might, that we might stand against all the wiles of the devil. So help us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go in peace.